Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're tackling something that's causing a lot of pain for a lot of people right now.
Yeah.
The entry-level housing market.
Yeah, it's definitely a hot topic.
We got a request to look into the specific source. Excerpts from the scarcity of affordable entry-level homes. Now, it's brief, but wow, the core idea in there. It really hits hard.
It absolutely does. And our source, well, it boils down to one really critical fact. It's even in the title. Affordable entry-level homes remain scarce across U.S. cities.
Okay.
So our mission today, I think, is to go beyond just saying, yep, that's true, and really dig into why. You know, why is this happening? What's stopping the supply from, well, meeting this obvious demand?
Okay, let's jump right in then.
Mm-hmm.
Because that single sentence, it just captures this huge systemic problem, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to buy your first home, you're facing more than just sticker shock.
Oh.
It's like the actual thing you need to buy at the price point you need,
mm-hmm.
just not there.
Exactly. It's a supply issue at its core.
And if that first step on the property ladder is like missing, well, the whole idea of moving up kind of stalls out.
It really does. The whole system gets choked.
So let's clarify terms first, because entry-level home gets thrown around a lot. What does the source actually mean by that in this context? Is it just, you know, the cheapest house you can find?
No, it's a bit more specific than that. Conceptually, think of it as that first crucial, accessible step onto the ladder.
Accessible. Okay.
Yeah, it's the kind of home that someone earning around the median income could realistically afford, maybe using FHA loans or similar programs, lower down payment needed.
Right.
Historically, maybe something like 60% to 80% of the area's median home price. It's really about hitting a specific price threshold, not just being small.
Gotcha. A price threshold.
It's that gateway to building equity, which, you know, historically, that's been the main way people build generational wealth in the U.S. So when that specific category vanishes, the ladder's broken.
And the source uses the word scarce very deliberately. Not just expensive, which is a key difference.
Right.
People often blame high prices on, say, low interest rates or just tons of buyers.
Right.
But scarcity implies something else. It implies the supply side just isn't producing that specific product.
That's the critical distinction, yeah. If it were just high demand making things expensive, you'd expect developers to rush in and build more, right?
Theoretically, yes.
But they aren't rushing to build entry-level homes. What we're seeing is a structural scarcity. There's a reason they aren't being built.
So why aren't they building them? Is it just not profitable enough?
It's largely a math problem, yeah. It boils down to something called cost inelasticity in construction.
Okay.
Think about it. While the selling price of a house changes a lot based on size and fancy finishes, a lot of the building costs are kind of fixed.
Like what?
Things like permits, getting utilities hooked up, the cost of the land itself, navigating regulations. Those costs are often pretty similar whether you build a tiny basic house or a bigger one. I see where this is going.
Right. So if it costs the builder, say, $300,000 in these fixed costs, plus basic materials for a small starter home, but only maybe $50,000 more to build a larger home, they can sell for an extra $250,000.
They're going to build the bigger one every time.
Every single time. The profit margin just dictates it. The market actively incentivizes building bigger, more expensive homes because the return on a small entry-level unit is just too low. Sometimes it's even negative in today's market.
Wow.
So the supply side has effectively, you know, stopped making the product that first-time buyers actually need.
Okay, that completely reframes it. It's not just that starter homes are getting snapped up fast. It's that new ones aren't really being built to replace them or meet demand.
Precisely.
And that brings us to the other key part of the source's finding. This is happening across U.S. cities.
Yeah, that geographic scope is crucial. Because it's easy to think, oh, housing is crazy in New York or San Francisco, you know, the usual suspects. But the source says this scarcity, this structural scarcity, is basically everywhere in urban areas, big metros, smaller cities. Why is it so widespread?
Well, the fact that it's nationwide tells you it's not just about local fights over zoning, although those definitely don't help.
Right.
It points towards bigger federal or maybe regional trends that are kind of squashing the supply of affordable homes everywhere.
Like what kind of trends?
Well, we can probably point to two big systemic factors. First, zoning, restrictive zoning. Even in cities that aren't huge coastal hubs, you find vast areas zoned only for single-family detached homes. That makes it illegal, basically, to build the kind of denser housing needed to bring down the cost per unit.
Things like townhouses, duplexes, fourplexes.
Exactly, or even just smaller single-family homes clustered together, the stuff that historically was the starter home, that kind of regulatory friction. It's pretty much everywhere.
So in most cities, it's legally difficult to build anything but a relatively expensive standalone house. That immediately shrinks the potential pool for first-timers.
It does. And the second big national factor, institutional investors.
Ah, yes. We hear a lot about this.
And we're not just talking about mom-and-pop landlords buying one extra house. We mean large firms, sometimes massive ones, treating single-family homes as, well, an asset class on a national portfolio level.
Okay, connect the dots then. How does that specifically hit the first-time buyer? The person who needs a mortgage, maybe FHA, who's really price sensitive.
Well, these institutional investors, especially since the 2008 crash, they've been buying up existing homes, particularly at the lower end of the price spectrum, what you might call naturally occurring affordable housing.
Right, the older, smaller homes already there.
Exactly, and they often buy with cash, all cash offers.
Which means they can close fast, no financing contingencies.
Right. They totally bypass the timeline and the hoops that a typical first-time buyer has to jump through. They snap up these homes and often turn them into long-term rentals.
So it's a double whammy for the first-time buyer.
It really is. First, it directly removes affordable homes from the for-sale inventory. Second, it replaces potential owner-occupied homes with rentals, further tilting the market away from ownership.
And this competition from big players with cash means even if a suitable entry-level house does come on the market,
the regular buyer, the one needing a mortgage and maybe down payment assistance, they often don't stand a chance. They get outbid or just can't move fast enough. And this isn't just in the hottest markets. It's happening widely, just like the source says, nationwide scarcity.
That really adds depth to the word scarcity. It's not just a shortage. It's like an economic force field pushing first-time buyers out. The product they need is unprofitable to build, and it's being bought up as an investment.
That's a good way to put it. Which, you know, raises a really important question. What does that do to economic mobility, especially when homeownership has been the main path for so many people to build wealth, particularly those maybe without a college degree or just starting out?
Yeah, what happens when that path is just blocked?
Well, the whole system of housing mobility gets jammed up.
Yeah.
If you can't get that first home, you're stuck renting longer, basically paying someone else's mortgage.
Right. Building their equity.
Exactly. Or you have to somehow leapfrog the entry level altogether and try to compete for a mid-tier home, which means taking on way more debt, probably delaying other things like starting a family.
Or moving way, way out, right? Mm. Sacrificing commute times, access to jobs. It just creates this huge backlog of people stuck.
And the data on wealth building through homeownership is just incredibly clear. If you delay starting that process by 5, 10, even 15 years, the wealth gap between owners and renters just widens dramatically. It becomes a generational thing. So the scarcity of starter homes isn't just a housing issue. It's an economic bottleneck. It's fundamentally limiting the ability of younger generations or less affluent ones to participate in the wealth building system that, frankly, previous generations relied on.
So it sounds like all the talk about the affordability crisis is really a symptom. The underlying disease is this structural scarcity.
I think that's right. We can talk about interest rates fluctuating, but unless something changes fundamentally on the supply side.
Unless it becomes profitable and legal to build those smaller, denser, more affordable units again.
Then prices for the few that exist will just keep getting pushed up by the sheer mismatch between demand and that incredibly limited, scarce supply.
Yeah.
And that's really the core truth that this source material, even though it's brief, lays bare. It defines the problem in a way that points towards needing structural solutions.
Not just waiting for the market to fix itself.
No. Things like zoning reform, maybe different economic incentives for builders. Something has to change in how we plan, build, and even transact housing in the U.S.
Okay, let's try to wrap this up then. Let's summarize the absolute key takeaway from this deep dive, based on the source. The defining fact seems to be this persistent nationwide scarcity of affordable entry-level homes in American cities.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just high prices. It's that the necessary inventory isn't being built due to profit and regulatory issues. And what little exists is getting absorbed by investors.
Exactly. The real bottleneck isn't just the mortgage payment. It's the fact that the house itself, the right kind of house for that buyer, often just doesn't exist on the market.
And until that changes.
Until that inventory is somehow restored, all the pressures we see, rising rents, crazy prices even for mid-tier homes, widening wealth inequality, they're likely just going to continue or even get worse. Mm-hmm. The forces creating the scarcity are just overwhelming the first-time buyer right now.
That is, yeah, a powerful and pretty sobering conclusion. Okay, so we always like to leave you, the listener, with a final thought to chew on. Building on this idea of structural scarcity, if that bottom rung of the housing ladder truly is missing right across the country, and owning a home is increasingly becoming something only possible if you already have significant capital, what's the ultimate societal cost? What happens when mobility is stifled and that main engine for middle-class savings home equity just isn't available to a huge chunk of the population? Think about those ripples. What did that do to our long-term stability as a nation?
That's the big question, isn't it?
Something to think about. We hope this deep dive gave you a clearer picture of the mechanics behind the housing scarcity. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, everyone.
We'll catch you next time on The Deep Dive.